This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to a special edition of At Your Service, half an hour of words, music, thoughts and prayers for this time of remembrance. And it seems fitting to start with the familiar words that'll be said in services and at wreath-laying ceremonies all around the island today. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
Haji Goodson de Veishan, Moni Shingan te Marn chit de Veishan. Hajin Aish Danus, Nana Bleantan Dera a Hororo. Eglina Grania, Asun Savora. Nimaj Kunyanaru.
On this Remembrance Day, we come in gratitude for all who have died so that we may live, for all who endured pain so that we might know joy, for all who suffered imprisonment so that we might know freedom. Turn our deep feelings now into determination, and our determination into deed, so that, as people died for peace, we may live for peace, and work tirelessly to bring into our world the kingdom values of justice and peace for all God's people.
When we are weary and in need of strength, when we are lost and sick at heart, we remember them. When we have a joy we crave to share, when we have decisions that are difficult to make, when we have achievements that are based on theirs, we remember them. At the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter, at the opening of the buds and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them. At the blueness of the skies and in the warmth of summer, at the rustling of the leaves and in the beauty of autumn, we remember them. At the rising of the sun and at its setting, we remember them. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them.
What passing bells for these who die as cattle? Only the monstrous anger of the guns. Only the stuttering rifles' rapid rattle can patter out their hasty orisons. No mockeries now for them, no prayers, no bells, nor any voice of mourning save the choirs, the shrill, demented choirs of wailing shells, and bugles calling for them from sad shires. What candles may be held to speed them all? Not in the hands of boys, but in their eyes shall shine the holy glimmer of goodbyes. The pallor of girls' brows shall be their pall, their flowers the tenderness of patient minds. And each slow dusk, a drawing down of blinds.
It's been said that truly great people forget themselves. That's why they're remembered. During the Second World War, a Russian Orthodox nun, Mother Maria, was imprisoned by the Nazis for helping the Jews. One day she saw a woman being led towards the gas chamber. She was crying hysterically. So Mother Maria put her arm around her and told her not to be frightened, that she would come into the gas chamber with her. Mother Maria died cradling that woman in her arms. Most of us are unlikely ever to be famous, but there is a kind of greatness we can all achieve, being remembered by others for forgetting ourselves.
Whilst I was choosing material for today's programme, I discovered a recording I made exactly 20 years ago at Remembrance Time in 2005, when I joined the children of St John's School in the Royal Chapel and at the War Memorial for their own service of remembrance and wreath-laying with their head teacher, Mr Bennett, and the then vicar of St John's, Reverend Jeff Breffitt. And afterwards, I talked with some of the children who'd taken part in the service. Their thoughts are mixed with reflections of war veterans who took part in another remembrance service that same year, a service marking the 60th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. The veterans are very familiar names: Lieutenant Colonel Brian Milchreist, Corporal Hector Duff, and Warrant Officer Fred Matthews. And there's another very familiar voice in this archive recording, Mrs. Pat Corrin, OBE, reading from the Book of Revelation. But let's start with the children of St. John's. I began by asking them, how did they think children would feel during those war years?
Quite scary, because of all the bombs and you wouldn't know what was going on.
My bomb group lost 39 aircraft, and there were 300 young airmen's lives lost. And I shall always remember the silence in the camp afterwards when we came back and all of our friends were missing.
When you weren't studying, did you learn about children who were sent away from their homes to somewhere that might be safer?
Yes. We did about how they were mainly sent to the country and how they had to move away from the cities because the main target position was the cities, the Germans' targets.
If you'd been a mum or dad during the war, do you think it would have been a really hard decision to make to decide to send perhaps your son or your daughter away to the countryside?
I suppose it would be, because you would never know whether you're going to see them again. And if you weren't, then you'd probably miss them a lot.
We soon realised that their armaments were much better than ours. And soon the desert was littered with an array of burning tanks from all sides. A burning tank is like a monster, with flames erupting from its hatches, where our comrades had entered, never to return.
It is my hope that in the future, generations of young people will look at the names of the young men who gave their lives that we might live. Perhaps thank them for giving us the freedom which we now all enjoy.
Kissick, Lawrence, Douglas.
Killick, Robert, Nelson.
Kissick, William, Douglas.
Kilsby, Frederick, Thomas.
Kitchen, John, Henry.
Kinley, Douglas, A.
Neil, Frederick, Ernest.
Kinley, John, J.
Neil, George, E.
Kinley, W, E.
Neil, Herbert.
Kinvig, Clifford.
Neil, William.
Kirkpatrick, William, George.
Neil, William, Herbert.
Kissick, Edward, Leslie.
Thomas and Abby and Cara and Lauren all read from the Book of Names. How did you feel when you were reading those? Did it make you think what those people might be like, Thomas?
Well, not more what the people were like, but made me think what they actually had to go through at the time they were still alive.
You know, when you read the book, I was a bit shocked that there's loads of people who had died in there, and it'd be a great loss in those times if someone in your family had died.
Did you think it's very important that those names were read out?
Yeah, all the names that I had to read out were all Neil, and then the second names were different.
When we'd finished the service in here, in church, then we went outside and the youngest child in your school and the oldest child in your school each laid a wreath, and then lots of you laid your own poppy crosses. But before that, we all kept very quiet for about 2 minutes. Would anybody like to tell me what they were thinking during those 2 minutes?
Well, I was thinking about the battlefield and all, like, there was no flowers and what it must have been like if one of your friends had died and how you would be feeling. And the war would still be carrying on, so you would be thinking, I'm all going to die.
I was thinking mainly about, the actual war going on, like thinking, how would I have felt like during that period of time?
I was thinking about what it would be like if those people hadn't gone to war and put their lives so we could live a happy life.
I was thinking how many people would have actually have lost people in the family, when including bombs and people being killed because they were fighting, because they would probably find it very lonely if none of the family was left.
Well, I was actually thinking of how, if I put myself in the situation of the war, how I would have felt. And it wasn't very nice, and I feel sorry for all the people that lost their lives in the war.
Well, I was praying to God about to look after the people who were lonely and had lost family members, and to look after the people in heaven who died. And I was just asking for peace and no more war.
I agree with Bethany. I was thinking of how, if I was in that situation, if I was fighting then, how scary it could be, and for people, well, for young men, to risk their lives for us, it is quite incredible.
I was thinking about all the people that had lost family members and how sad they must have been when they had got the message that they had done, thinking about and praying for them just to look after them.
I was thinking about how brave all the men and everybody involved in the war, how brave they must have been to be able to go out and do that. And they must have been, because look at the result.
I felt, in a way, a bit sad and in a way a bit happy. I was sad because they didn't have a happy life and they were very young and they died in pain. And I felt happy because, well, we were here today to celebrate what happened. Basically, we were here remembering what they were doing for us.
Well, if you rehearsed this or practiced it anywhere else apart from church, you probably wouldn't have thought about it as much as you would if you did anything of it here, because it just makes you think more carefully about what actually happened when you come to church and do it.
when you go home, tell him the boss to say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today.
From the Revelation of St. John the Divine, chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. Our Bible reading there from Mrs. Pat Corrin, OBE. And those young voices, also from our archive recording of 20 years ago. I wonder if there are any names here that you recognise. Abby Kermode, Cara Harrison-Smith, Thomas Doyle, Lauren Blaney, Kirsty Pierce, Rowena Farrand, Rebecca Perry, Bethany Gale, Rachel Harrop and Moira Payne. And we end with a few words from a regular visitor to this programme, Baptist pastor, author and broadcaster Richard Littledale. At this season of remembrance, he's thinking of the consequences of being without somebody that we love, and he speaks with the voice of experience, having lost his wife and best friend Fiona to cancer at the age of just 52.
This is the story of Arthur. Now, I know that people suffering with a chronic illness sometimes give it a name. It's a way of gaining some control over this thing, this unwelcome resident in their bodies. Davina McCall called her brain tumour Jeffrey for exactly that reason. I want to talk for a few minutes about the emotional cancer of loneliness. I use that description very deliberately. Like other forms of cancer, it has a voracious appetite and will gobble up energy and space to which it is not entitled. It will skew your perspective and obscure your view of the future, given half a chance. My loneliness is called Arthur. It seems a reassuringly ordinary name. It's the sort of name which might belong to a kindly neighbour, a favourite uncle, or that bloke at the hardware shop who always knows just what tool you need for the job. It was also my granddad's name, as it happens. Arthur is a polar bear. And from a distance, he looks rather splendid, all alone on his personal iceberg, like the bear on Fox's glacier mints of old. Of course, he doesn't stay at a distance, and that's the problem. Most evenings, he ambles in uninvited. I say ambles because he rarely walks and never runs. Most evenings, he pushes open the front door and takes up residence on my sofa. If he doesn't come in the evening, then he always comes at bedtime, pushing past me on the stairs to make sure he gets there first. Polar bears can be deceptive, you know. They look cuddly when they're seen from a safe distance. Even close up, I'm tempted to bury my face in his luxuriant white fur. But it's oh so cold and stinks of melancholy. He's such bad company, growling when you smile, snarling when you laugh, and sitting between you and the telly so you can't really see what's going on, no matter how much you want to distract yourself. Sometimes, when I go away on holiday, I hope he'll somehow lose my address whilst I'm away. No such luck. No sooner do I wrestle the suitcase through the door than he pushes past it, cuffs me on the back of the head as he passes, and then smirks as he slides a single mug towards me, next to the kettle. Tea made, he plonks himself down on the sofa and banishes the holiday smells with the reek of regret and stale fish. Oh, Arthur, what am I to do with you? I'll keep you for sure. To be honest, I'm not sure I have much choice in the matter. I've decided to talk about you too. There are many, many others who host your cousins in their houses, you see. Maybe we can compare notes on how to make space for you and what not to feed you so that you don't grow any bigger. I've chosen to introduce Arthur to you today because you may well find that you have him or one of his cousins at home when this programme's over. Very often it's acts of public mourning and remembrance which bring out our private sense of loss. When the front door shuts and the sound of the buglers fall silent outside, that's when we come face to face with our own remembrance. If any of this seems familiar, then I would love to hear from you. You can contact me by looking me up as Richard Littledale on Facebook or Bespoke Words on Instagram. Maybe you can introduce me to your Arthur. To coin a phrase, we need to talk about Arthur.
Richard Littledale, who introduced us to Arthur a few moments ago, is seriously exploring the whole subject of loneliness and would love to hear from you if you'd like to share your experience. As he said, you can find him on Facebook, just search for Richard Littledale, and when you've found his page, you can contact him directly on Facebook Messenger. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you comfort and consolation as you remember what you will.
In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
The Nation Station.